Take your Bible, if you will, this morning over to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. I want you to help me out today. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to listen this morning like it was just me talking to you. Just one-to-one, eyeball to eyeball, okay? Just us. I want you to forget about everybody else, everything else, other things that may be going on, and just as if you were sitting and talking with me, and all right, okay, say, preacher, we're not going to be talking. I'm going to just be listening. Okay, that you're just listening to me, all right? And if you would do that, I would really appreciate it. This is unusual for me. Many of you know it. Some of you don't know it, but I teach in Bible college every 2 or 3 years or so. I teach homiletics. And you say, what in the world is that? Well, it's an attempt to teach preachers to preach, okay? The mechanics, if you will, of preaching. And one of the things that I always tell the guys in my class is, look, you need a good introduction. Amen. You need a good introduction. You want people to listen. And that introduction is where you try to capture their attention, to get their attention, grab it, and then you try to hold on to it through the whole message. And so you really need to have an introduction. Amen. But I want to just tell you this morning, I have no introduction. You just heard the introduction, all right? There's just not one, all right? At the same time, I like to give my sermons a title. I thought about a title this week. I tried to come up with everything I come up with. I said, nah, that's no good. That doesn't work, or that's over the top, or, you know. So I don't have a title. The title and the introduction go together, okay? I want to preach to you on 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, 16, and 17. But all that said, truth of the matter is, maybe it doesn't need a title.
Amen. Right.
Maybe it doesn't need an introduction. Because this subject is so great, and the need is so pressing, and maybe what we need to do is just dive right into the scriptures. So would you, let's do that today, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you notice there in verse 15, this is a faithful saying. A faithful saying. Hey, a faithful saying by its very nature is one that is true. All right? I mean, the idea that it could be faithful and false at the same time, just that make any sense whatsoever. If it's false, it's not faithful. And if it's faithful, it's not going to be false. So it's a very nature, it's a true statement. It's a statement that's true. You can count on it being true. You can, as I like to say, you can take it to the bank, all right? There's no reason not to believe it. And one of the reasons we know it's true and there's no reason not to believe it is because of who said it. Now, I realize right here this is in the book that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, penned to Timothy, his son in the ministry. And he was writing him things to help him as he was a pastor in the city of Ephesus, all right? So it was written there, but he's not the one that said it, all right? Jesus Christ is the one, if you will, who made the original statement. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And the one who could not lie attests to the truth of this statement.
Yes, sir.
All right? It is a faithful saying. It's a faithful saying. But it goes beyond that. The Bible says not only is it a faithful saying, but it's worthy of all acceptation.
Amen.
Hey, it's worth listening to. It's worth listening to. You know, there's a lot of things, sayings that are a waste of time. Not because they're not true. They are true, all right? They are true, but really they're a waste of time. You say, why you say that? Because even though they're true, they deal with such insignificant information that it's just a waste of time to listen to it, all right? I like to sing. But one of the things I like to do is collect what I call stupid songs. You know, songs that are just off the wall, you know. And songs like May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose, all right? Not anything of great worth, all right? Not anything like that. And I have a list of those songs that I've got. I can sing them, and I enjoy singing them. I entertain myself. Sometimes I have sung it before to a group of teenagers because they need the culture, all right? But, hey, they're insignificant. Really, in a sense, they're a waste of time. But wait a minute, this saying we're coming up to is not a waste of time. This saying, all right, is worth listening to. It's worthy of all acceptation. That means it is worthy of everybody accepting it. Hey, this is not a statement that only concerns just a handful of people or even a host of people. No, this statement has information for every human being on the face of this earth. It's just got that much, all right? Even those that might disdain it, and there are people that do, even those who might reject the saying, and there are people to do, but they still need to hear it. They still need to hear it. It is just that important. This saying is worthy of the utmost reception. It's more important than the speech by the Secretary of the United Nations. It's more important than any speech any president of the United States has ever given. It's more important than any speech, any phrase that any king on this earth has ever uttered. Hey, stay with me. This statement, all right, it goes beyond those words that only need to be considered just for a moment and then discarded. These are words that ought to be burned into your memory. They ought to be put there. They ought to even go past that. It's worthy of making all the way past your mind and all the way to the heart of man. It's just that important, okay? It is worthy. It's a faithful saying. It is a saying that is worthy of all acceptation. You say, what is that saying? It's this right here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hey, notice Jesus came into this world. His coming was different from all the others who have ever come before. Now, because all the others, either you've been born into this world or you were Adam or Eve. And God handmade you and breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. Well, now, none of you in here feel the bill there, all right? All of us got here because we were born into this world. But the coming of the Lord Jesus, he didn't come into the world by birth, all right? He came from the throne of heaven. He came from the throne of heaven. He left that throne to come here, all right? It was a conscious thing. He gave up the glory of heaven to become a man. Now hear me. He's God, but he gave up the glory of heaven to become a man. And to come to this earth to experience everything that men here experience. He came to be tempted like all men are tempted. Hey, listen to me. He came to be sin and to become sin for you. For you. Don't forget that. The Bible tells us that God put the sin of all the earth on Jesus Christ. And he bore our sin on that tree, on the cross of Calvary. He came into this world, but wait a minute, he came to save sinners. He came to save sinners. The whole purpose of his coming was focused on that one main emphasis. Are you with me? That was the one main emphasis. That was the reason he came. He came to save sinners. That was his first and his main objective, to save sinners. He did not really, his main purpose in coming was not to found the church. Did he? Yes, he did. But that was not the first purpose of that coming. He came, a lot of people like to say, well, he came to share God's love. He did, but that's not the main purpose of his coming. You say, well, he came to show us the way to God. Well, he did, but that wasn't the main reason he came. You say, well, he came to give us an example. He did. He gave us an example, but that's not the main reason he came. All right? You say, well, he came to reveal the nature of God to man. Well, he did, but that's not the main reason he came. He came to call sinners. He came to call sinners. You read through the Bible, and one of the places that stands out is where in the Gospel of John, he told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. So why? Because there was a sinner there. There was a sinner there. Hey, folks, listen to me. Listen to me. He came to call sinners. He came to save sinners. Now, he did those other things that people like to talk about, all right? But they weren't the main objective. They weren't the main purpose for his coming. The truth is, he came to save sinners. You say, why? Because there was no other way that man could have been saved without his coming. No other way. No other way. That was it, all right? He came to save sinners. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. That means he came to save you. Because you are a sinner. You are a sinner. He came to save you. He said, preacher, I resent that statement. Who do you think you are? I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Bible believer. And the Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. And I don't put myself above you. I'm one of those sinners too. I'm one of those sinners too. He came to save you. He came. You need to get a hold of that fact. You need to never forget that fact. He went to the cross for you. For you. Sometimes we think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We say, preacher, I know he died to save the world. Wait a minute. He died for you. He died for you. You mark it down. There's a song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that. I believe that. I believe he came. He died for you. We need to grasp that fact. It is a very personal truth. He came to save sinners. And the problem is we need to realize that's me. I'm the one he came to save. I'm the one he came to save. But don't you notice what Paul said there at the end of verse 15. He said, of whom, that is of sinners, I am chief. I'm chief. That's the testimony of Paul. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, we talk about Paul. We talk about the guy that wrote the biggest part, if you will, of the New Testament. We talk about, oftentimes people say, the greatest missionary the world's ever seen. We talk about a great soldier of the cross. What do you mean you're the chiefest of sinners? That's his testimony. He told us in verse 13 here in this chapter, he said, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was injurious. He said, man, that's me, that's me. Now, wait a minute. But he was real religious. He was real religious. And there's a lot of people in the world today that think the religion is going to take care of them. If I can just get involved in religion. You've got that crowd, and then you've got the people you run into out visiting, and they say, man, I don't like organized religion. I agree with them. Me either. I'm not very much on religion. But I tell you what, I am surely in favor of a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm in favor of that. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. Chief of sinners. In his own sight, that's what he was. I'll be honest, in the last 100 years, 200 years, probably several million saved men could have laid claim to that same title. If you read the biography, I truly enjoy reading biographies. And I really like to read the biography of people that got saved. I like to hear testimonies of how people got saved. I like to hear people tell about how God dealt with them. I like to. I heard Jim Vineyard give his salvation testimony so many times, I can give it, all right? I mean, I heard him, and I enjoyed it. Enjoyed hearing it every time I heard it. He said, man, I was in a motel room in Moline, Illinois. I bowed and I called on the Lord and God saved me. He said, I was never the same again. Hey, listen, I don't know what your salvation story. I can tell you, man, I was a nine-year-old boy. Nine-year-old boy raised in church, been in church all my life. I'd never committed armed robbery. I had never cursed. You say, you never did? No, because I had a mom and dad beat the devil out of me, all right? So I never cursed. I never drank. I can go through all that litany of things that people say, man, wicked sin. I never done any of it. But I was a sinner. I was a sinner, and I knew I was a sinner. And boy, we were studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school. And look, I'd been in church all my life. I had heard preachers preach. I had heard evangelists preach. I'd heard some good preachers preach. I'd heard a lot of salvation messages preach, and I'd ignored them all. But we got into that, and the Lord began to use that teaching, began to work on my heart. And I realized I was lost. I realized I was lost. Mom and Dad were saved. My brother was saved. Maybe. No, they were saved. I was lost. And I realized, man, if the Lord comes back, the rapture takes place, they're going to leave and I'll be here by myself. And I struggled, man, with conviction, the Holy Spirit conviction. I would stand in the service during the song service and I would jam my hands in my pocket. Of course, see, I'd been to all kinds of preaching. I'd heard all kinds of preachers preach about people whose knuckles turned white as they held the pew in front of them. Under conviction, so I said, nobody's going to see my white knuckles. They're going to be in my pocket. He said, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I was only 9 years old, okay? I had my hands in my pocket. But boy, on that Sunday morning, I'd rejected God's call. The Sunday before, Sunday morning, Sunday night, the Wednesday night before, I'd rejected God's call. That Sunday morning, I didn't go. I didn't trust Christ. And that Sunday night, I stood there, and the invitation time came, and I was standing there, and you've heard me tell it. You said, why are you telling it again? Because I like to hear it. That Sunday night, man, I stepped out to go forward, and the devil said, get back over here. So I did. I'd been listening to him for a long time. And then I stood in there and thought, I ain't going to hell for you. So the next time I didn't just step out, I jumped out and took off. So he didn't have time. That Sunday night, God saved my soul. You hear me? And it's been a day since then I ever regretted that decision. Not a time. Man, God saved me. Now I'll tell you this, I wasn't the chief of sinners. The women in church will say, he's a good little boy. I wasn't the chief of sinners. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be the chief of sinners to need to get saved. You don't have to be what the world says. Oh, you're bad. Man, that dude's wicked. He's evil. Hey, you don't have to be that. Let me tell you this. Those little lies that you've told, not big ones, just little ones, that covetousness you've displayed, that jealousy maybe that you hold right now, that gossip you spoke, they don't add up to much in the eyes of the world. People today don't consider that. Well, that wasn't that big a deal. That time this last week you were unkind to somebody. Okay, you shouldn't have done that, but I mean, that's not that big. That's not enough to send you to hell. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, we're sinners. We're sinners. I'll just tell you this, all right? We're born into this world as sinners. All it really took for you to need to be saved was to be born. Because you were born a sinner. You were born a sinner. That's why nobody had to teach you how to lie. Your older brother or your older sister didn't have to pull you aside and say, look now, you're messing this thing up. If you're going to lie, this is the way you lie, okay? Here's the way to do it. Nobody ever had to do that for you. Nobody had to do that for you. Nobody had to teach you how to steal anything. Nobody had to do it. You know, all right, you know that if you're going to steal something, you really need to conceal it. All right. Now, my dad one time went to the grocery store, picked up a package of ground meat and walked out, got all the way home and realized he hadn't paid for it. But that's not the best way if you're going to steal, okay? He said, what did he do? Well, he went back and paid for it. And they laughed and he said, it wouldn't been funny if you'd have seen me leaving like this. I'd have been in real trouble. Hey, you hear me? Nobody had to teach you to sin. All you had to do is be born. You were born a sinner. That's why it comes natural to you. That's why as kids, it's natural for us to talk back. Because we're sinners. It's a natural thing. That's why oftentimes a lie comes to your lips unbidden. Because we're sinners. We're sinners. That's it. You don't have to be the chief of sinners to need salvation. All you had to do was be born into this world. Now, this is going to shock you, okay, but I want to ask you something. Will you consider that saying this morning? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Would you consider that right now? Would you consider it? Even better, will you accept it? Will you accept it as a truth and realize he did come? That's the reason. Hey, folks, he didn't come and die on the cross just to be a martyr so we could tell stories about the suffering that he suffered and all that he endured to go to the cross. He didn't do it for that. He did it to pay your sin debt. That's why he did it. He died, let me say it again, he died for you. Now the question is, will you accept him as your Savior? Will you accept him as your Savior? Will you accept him? Now, salvation doesn't overwhelm you. It doesn't come along because you've sat in a church service or you've listened to a preacher, or you've listened to a soul winner, or you've talked to somebody about the gospel, and all of a sudden you go, bam, I'm saved. It doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. You have to personally accept him as your Savior. You have to receive him. He died for you, yep. He offers to you today the gift of eternal life. But it's a gift. It's a gift. We mess this thing up. Every gift has to be received. Every gift has to be received. Brother Oftedal, here's a wealthy man. I offer him a dollar bill, and he says, come on, man, that's an insult. He's a wealthy man. Nick, you want this dollar bill? You don't want it either? You're a wealthy man too, huh? Okay, not for you. Lance, you want this dollar bill? I know this money-grubbing rascal, all right? He's been after my money ever since he was born, okay? Now hear me. What did he do to earn it? Not one thing. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. All he had to do was accept it. All he had to do, you say, well, he had to come get it. And that's exactly what you got to do for salvation. You've got to come get it. The Lord offers it. He offers it as a free gift. Offers it a free gift. And it's free to you, but will you accept it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but he never forces it on anybody. He will not do it. Hey, mom saved, dad saved, Uncle Bill, Grandpa and Grandma, Aunt Sally, everybody, all in the family, all your brothers, all your sisters, they're on their way to heaven. Thank God, I'll tell you, you're not going because they are. And you're not saved because they are. You're not saved because they are. It's individual. Remember, I said to you this morning when I started, I want you to listen to me, just me and you. Just like I'm just talking to you and nobody else. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Will you trust Him today? You trust Him today. You see, if you've never done that, you're not saved. Now, it's not His fault. It's not His fault. He paid the price. You've been told. Now it's up to you. It's up to you. But you've got to trust Him. He came to save sinners, but He won't force it on you. I didn't force my dollar bill on Nick. He didn't want it. Fine. Last time I ever offered you any money, all right? Had your chance. Had your chance. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ won't force salvation on you. He came to save you, but He won't force it on you. Will you trust Him today? Will you trust Him today? Will you do it? Say, I'm not the chief of sinners. That's okay, you don't have to be. You say, I am the chief. I'm the worst sinner, you know, preacher. You don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. If you are the chief of sinners, He'll still save you. He'll still save you. Will you trust Him today? Would you bow your head, close your eyes this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, I've done the best job I know how to do to make it as plain as I know how to make it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Will you trust Him today as your Savior? Here's a preacher, what I need to do in just a moment. We're going to be through. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. When we sing, I'm going to step down in front of the communion table here, there, and I'm going to ask you to come. You say, in front of everybody? In front of everybody, yep. There's a lot of folks here that are saved. They're going to be hallelujah happy if you get saved. But I tell you what, it's worth being in front of anybody and everybody to say, I want to trust Christ. Would you just have the courage to walk down the aisle, meet me here and say, I want to trust Christ? Listen, if you're a little bit reluctant to come by yourself, I guarantee if you'll ask somebody close to you, they'll come with you. They'll come with you. Please, please don't leave here needing to be saved. Please trust Christ today, would you? Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm praying for folks. I'm really begging them to get saved today. because you came to save sinners. Would you give them the courage to walk down this aisle, meet me here, and just say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ." And Lord, let somebody take the Bible, so make sure they understand everything they need to, and they can trust Christ today. Please use the invitation for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.